This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. As you heard just a moment ago, President Bush was in Colorado Springs today speaking to the U.S. Air Force Academy's graduating class. While the president elaborated on his plans for Iraq, the war on terror, and the Middle East, there's greater pressure for the Democratic presidential candidate, John Kerry, to articulate a clearer vision on Iraq as the election approaches. So what do you think of John Kerry's message on Iraq and the campaign trail? You're invited to join us. 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK, the email address, TOTN@NPR.org. Ron Elving is with us here in Studio 3A. We'll be back with him in just a moment. But first, let's turn to Patrick Healy, the Boston Globe's political reporter who covers the Kerry campaign. He's with us now from Tampa, Florida. John Kerry's at a town hall meeting about bioterrorism and first responders. Patrick Healy, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Senator Kerry's been on what's supposed to be now an 11-day tour?
That's right. We're in day six right now.
And speaking about yesterday, it was about the problems of nuclear weapons, not so much in the hands of terrorists, but the nuclear weapons stocks that exist everywhere or in the powers of the known nuclear powers around the world.
That's right. He's trying to talk about national security concerns and tie them to his sort of new theme of his campaign, which is calling for a stronger America. And he's focusing on nuclear weapons proliferation, unsecured nuclear stockpiles. Today he's talking about bioterrorism and what first responders can do and what role the government should play in that. And tomorrow he'll go on and talk about to what extent the military is equipped to be fighting 21st century conflicts.
Does the war in Iraq specifically come up in these conversations that John Kerry's having with potential voters?
It's interesting. It does on the fringes and in the subtext. And what I mean by that is yesterday when Senator Kerry was focusing on nuclear weapons stockpiles being unsecured, he painted it as an incredible threat, a dangerous threat to the country. And pivoted off of that and said, meanwhile, President Bush is fixated on Iraq. Fixated was sort of the word that he used a couple times. And basically was trying to paint a picture of himself as a 19-year veteran of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, someone who speaks fluently and easily and in detail about issues from nuclear terrorism to bioterrorism to Iraq to North Korea and Iran, someone who is expert on all these issues, and contrasting himself with President Bush and saying that President Bush is being dragged down to some extent by Iraq, is bogged down there, is really sort of in its grasp and can't get out.
What does he say when voters or people at these meetings ask him about his policy on Iraq?
Well, he basically emphasizes his skill at diplomacy and at bringing in what he hopes is bringing in other nations, perhaps France, Germany, Russia, India and Pakistan, more Muslim countries into Iraq, having troops from those countries on the ground, be able to take some American troops out, having a NATO presence or a sort of a NATO project in Iraq. Sort of trying to say he would broaden the international coalition the same way that the first President Bush did with the Gulf War. Now, the issue is that a lot of voters still don't really know Senator Kerry, and when he talks about his interest in greater diplomacy, talking to some voters afterward, they say, well, how would he do it? You know, who is this guy? He hasn't been Secretary of State. I mean, you know, he's been on this Foreign Relations Committee, but how would he do it? And the general sort of trust that comes from the Kerry campaign is a trust me approach, is an argument that President Bush has let alliances fray, has alienated so many countries that even if he wanted to, President Bush couldn't regain the support from America's historic allies, and that there needs to be a change in leadership, and that Senator Kerry can sort of work some diplomatic magic and bring everyone on board for an effort and occupation that a lot of people have opposed.
Famously, during the primary season, his slogan when talking about the war in Iraq, if President Bush wants to fight this campaign on the war in Iraq, well, bring it on, he would say. What's his slogan now? Does he have a message that he tries to deliver?
Yeah, he's been changing it. And the current slogan that they're trying out is a line from a Langston Hughes poem. It's, "Let America be America again," which goes over with some rallies well and leaves others kind of shaking their head and asking, well, what does that mean? Bring It On was a rally cry. You know, it came at the end of the speech. Crowds were whipped up by it. They felt like, okay, he's going to go after President Bush in a way that's going to really excite us. Let America Be America Again is still evolving in terms of what that message means. Basically, what it means from Senator Kerry's point of view is President Bush has allowed America to get on the wrong track, that America is off course, and that can be backed up by poll numbers, people feeling that things aren't going the way they should be in America, whereas Senator Kerry will return America to a better time, which oftentimes, if you listen to him, is sort of a pre-Monica Lewinsky Clinton era when the economy was going great guns and America was very well respected in the world from the Democrats' point of view, that's what they'll return to, and that America can be America again. It's still a message that's, you know, working itself out. I think a piece of it is just that still a lot of people don't quite know who John Kerry is and what John Kerry's idea of America is. So if John Kerry's letting America be America again, where does that leave America?
Ron Elving, wanted to bring you back into the conversation here. As President Bush continues to articulate this idea of a forward strategy of you're going to fight terrorism in the Middle East, John Kerry's talking about nuclear stockpiles, biological weapons, that sort of thing. It sounds like he's talking about a more defensive approach.
I think the essence of what he's saying is the United States ought to be worried about protecting itself more than it's worried about extending a definition of democracy, a definition of world order, into a volatile and difficult region such as the Middle East. That's fraught with problems, some of which may be forced upon us, some of which may have to be by necessity our problems, but perhaps some of which need not be our problems unless we make them so.
Let's get another caller in on the conversation. Tessa joins us from Folsom, California. Hi, Tessa.
Hi. I just had a general comment about John Kerry, and that it seems to me that we haven't gotten a chance to know him yet, and that with the election still 5 months away, for him to articulate his message so clearly now may put him at a disadvantage in terms of it being used against him or it being adopted by the opposition.
Ron Elving, what about that?
I think there's a great deal in what the caller says. If you look back at the last time we had a presidential election, while there were hundreds of thousands of American troops, or even so many as 125,000, 130,000, under arms and actually in combat situations around the world, you have to go all the way back to the Vietnam era. And if you look at those two elections, 1972, when Richard Nixon was president and running against George McGovern, George McGovern was quite specific and well-formed about what he thought ought to be done. He thought we ought to get out of Vietnam and get out right away. He lost 49 states. Even though the war in that seventh or eighth year of major American commitment and escalated fighting had become quite unpopular, nonetheless, George McGovern's idea of just pulling out summarily only got him one state. And by the way, it was the state of Massachusetts, John Kerry's home state. Mm. Now, back 4 years earlier, when Richard Nixon was running for president as a challenger, his approach to the Vietnam War was to say, I have a plan. It's going to get us out of there. He didn't say how long it would take. He didn't even say what the plan was. Some people derisively called it his secret plan. But he was generality after generality about why we needed to fight the war differently and lessen the American commitment, but eventually succeed in saving us with honor, peace with honor, and getting us out of Vietnam. And in the context of 1968, running when LBJ was still president but not running for re-election, when the war was at a height of unpopularity, that worked for Richard Nixon. Now, I'm sure the Kerry campaign is looking at those two campaigns and looking at 1972 and 1968 and looking for lessons.
And Patrick Healy, one of the advantages of being the outsider in this race, not being the president of the United States, is John Kerry doesn't have to articulate a policy on Iraq. After all, things could be very different, as Tessa suggests, in a couple of months.
That's right. But as the caller said, within a couple months, he's going to be under a great deal of pressure to make clear what his alternative is. He simply can't run, at least from the point of view of what the electorate is saying in polls, as just an anti-Bush candidate. He needs to be presenting both the critique of Bush, but at the same time, the alternative. And Democrats are certainly, the sense is, perhaps egged on by Ralph Nader, perhaps because of events, more casualties that take place in Iraq. There's probably going to be pressure, even from within his own party, for him to talk about a version of peace with honor, to talk about either an exit strategy from Iraq, perhaps what Nader wants, which is a full pullout by such and such a date, to commit to something like that. But by the fall, from the Kerry campaign's view is that they have time to do that, that when people do know Kerry better and people are paying closer attention by the fall, that those issues may be filled in more detail.
Tessa, thanks very much.
Thank you for having my call. Thanks.
Oh, bye-bye. Let's hear now from Parviz. Parviz joins us from Larchmont, New York.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
You know, both candidates talk about nuclear weapons, and Bush just dropped a nuclear weapon on USA by Abu Ghraib. Abu Ghraib prison torture is like a nuclear weapon being dropped on America. You don't know. I'm on the phone. You don't know the effect of this on the people of the world. My daughter just arrived.
Yes.
The effect of this on the people of the world. The people of the world are so angry at America. They don't trust Americans anymore. When they see Americans, if I go out, they see me. They think I'm a torturer or something, and they're mad at me that I live in America. You don't know the effect of this. So that's one thing. Another thing, Bush talks about giving sovereignty. You know, he lied to us about getting us into the war.
Well, let me ask you what you want to hear from Senator Kerry at this point.
Senator Kerry, be more bold. Talk about Bush's failures. Talk about his lying. Talk about sovereignty is not when you elect those guys. They're elected by the appointed by the U.S., elected by U.S. You know, they're playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same government that was there. Now they put a date. They're just trying to pull wools over our eyes. And the people in the world are not fools. And the best thing to do is get out, because they're going to be angry. They're going to be shoot at us. Bring our troops home. If you want to support our troops, bring them home. I know. I predicted these things on your show, not your show, and one of the shows on NPR, I think Odyssey show. I told them last year, on March 21st.
Okay, Parviz.
I told them these things will happen and happen. I know it will happen. People over there, you know, we are deceiving ourselves.
Okay, Parviz, we thank you for your perspicacity and for your telephone call. Ron Elving, we were talking with David Sanger earlier about some of the growing splits within the president's own party, people criticizing him for some of the deals that U.S. troops are making with militias in Iraq on the ground, some splits in the Republican Party. As we were just hearing from Patrick Healey, eventually there could be splits within the Democratic Party, much of which is considerably to the left of John Kerry's position on Iraq.
There are many Democrats who feel that really the only thing to talk about at this juncture is how soon do we get out and how do we facilitate our departure. I think there's going to be a perception on the part of a lot of Democrats that John Kerry is not anti-war enough, that he wants it both ways too much, that he's trying to run as a centrist on a question that is essentially a moral question that doesn't really have a center. You either run as a pro-Bush policy candidate or as an anti-Bush policy candidate. That will be their view. Now, there are going to be wings, obviously, in any party. There are going to be people who feel more strongly motivated in the direction of going 180 degrees away from our current policy. There are also going to be people within the Democratic Party who think that Kerry is already too much enthralled to the anti-war wing and that he needs to be more centrist, that some of these callers who have been suggesting that he is slightly disloyal in his talk about the president are closer to the actual political crux of what will decide whether or not John Kerry becomes president.
We're speaking with Ron Elving, senior Washington editor for NPR News, and Patrick Healey, a political reporter who covers the Kerry campaign for the Boston Globe. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I wanted to read an email we got from Michael Coleman. The main thing he writes, I like about Kerry's message is that I don't hear any of the preemptive or do it to them before they do it to us talk like Bush keeps pushing. Does that come up at all, Patrick, on the campaign trail?
It does now and again. Senator Kerry tries to, again, sort of straddle a line. He says that very clearly that he plans to go back to the United Nations right away as president, rejoin the community of nations, work closely, build and lead to a new era of alliances. But then he also, at the same time, emphasizes that he will never let another organization or country tell America what to do in terms of protecting itself, will never cede America's sovereignty or control of its troops, and that he will reserve the right to respond to any threat in any way that he believes is right. So it's not the Bush preemption doctrine, but he is trying to make it clear that, well, he wants alliances, but he'll also go his own way if he feels like that's what's in the best interest of protecting the country.
Ron Elving, in the midst of the rockiest period of President Bush's presidency, his poll numbers are low, his approval ratings not so great at this particular moment, the lowest they've ever been. Has John Kerry been able to take advantage of this, press a point, or is he merely hanging back and letting the president stew in his own troubles?
I think it's been more the latter. I think John Kerry's campaign has been concerned about getting back some of the ground that they lost in March and April when the president launched his own television advertising campaign, the majority of which was directed against Senator Kerry, and which was highly effective, and which drove down John Kerry's numbers rather noticeably after he had won the Democratic nomination in early March. The campaign is concerned about getting their own positive ads on, their biographical ads, getting the positive image of John Kerry back up among the voters. That has been a central concern of their spring work. They've also wanted to work on John Kerry's personal presentation, make him a little less prolix, make him a little more to the point, a little more direct, a little more forceful. And, of course, they want to form up his positions so that they sound as preferable to as many Americans as possible. And they're working on all of these points at once. That's a lot of ground to cover, and I think those have been their main focuses. Now, of course, people would like to be able to say, from the standpoint of John Kerry, he's really taking advantage of the president's weakness. I think thus far he has not really been able to do that, and that there has not been enough focus on him, as one of the callers suggested, to enable him to really step into the breach. So at the moment, the fall in George W. Bush's popularity has left something of a void that no one has yet filled.
Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor, as always, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Neil.
Ron was with us here in 3A. Patrick Healy, thank you for your time today as well.
Thanks, Neil.
Patrick Healy, a political reporter. He covers the Kerry campaign for the Boston Globe. Much more on this president's speech later today on All Things Considered and NPR News. And here's some of the other news NPR is following today. An Iraqi who used to be a close U.S. ally denying reports that he or his followers passed U.S. secrets to Iran. That's Ahmad Chalabi. Denied that he told the Iranians that the U.S. had cracked one of its codes. In the Central African nation of Congo, a resurgence of fighting between rebel armies and government troops threatening a fragile 18-month-old peace. More on that coming up on All Things Considered as well. Talk of the Nation continues in just a moment. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan.